Hello, and welcome to this Hot Topics podcast from NB Medical and Medcast. The podcast is part of a series based on the popular Hot Topics workshops and webinars. In this episode, our expert speaker, Dr. Neil Tucker, discusses the recent developments in managing ulcerative colitis in general practice. A copy of the Keep It Simple summary, or KISS, on this topic is available on the Medcast downloads page. If you'd like to learn more and to register for one of our nationally delivered face-to-face workshops, please visit our website. Dr. Neil Tucker introduces Neela, a patient presenting with a flare-up of ulcerative colitis.
So Neela is 26 years old. She was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis just a few years ago. She had some mild symptoms, some gradual increase in PR bleeding. She went to the doctors, had a scope that confirmed what's going on. So she's now been managed on oral mesalazine. She takes 2.4 grams daily, so a fairly standard dose. She's been really well since the initial treatment. She had some steroids initially to help settle things down, but the mesalazine seems to have managed things quite well until now. So in the last 4 weeks, she started developing increased frequency of her bowels. She's probably opening her bowels maybe three times a day on average at the moment. She's getting blood in the stool. She feels okay in herself. So she's not got any fever. She's not got any abdominal pain, but things just feel a bit uncomfortable. She's getting tenesmus as well. So this is not an uncommon problem for us. Around 0.25% of Australians, one in 400, have inflammatory bowel disease. About half of people with inflammatory bowel disease will have a flare every single year. So this is very, very common. And this is important because we in general practice are usually that first point of contact, particularly if you're in a remote area, you may be managing everything to do with these patients. So having an overview of the best management strategies for this group is quite important. And I was taken by this article in the BJGP a year ago, the British Journal of General Practice, and its main thrust was that oral corticosteroids, yes, they can be very useful for flares in people with inflammatory bowel disease, but they're often overprescribed. A significant proportion of patients, around 40%, are found to have excess steroid exposure. And the key here is that there are other treatment options that exist, and not only may they be effective, but they may be more effective than steroids whilst minimizing that unnecessary steroid exposure and the potential for complications. So we're going to have a quick look at sort of the assessment of someone's flare, how we can gauge how severe one is, and then how we can manage that patient. So broadly speaking, you can assess severity in terms of mild, moderate, and severe, and we'll have a quick look at some of the clinical criteria there. Fundamentally, if you think someone is acutely unwell with a flare of inflammatory bowel disease, then they need to go to hospital, they need to be admitted. But you can get this group who have had perhaps a gradual increase in their symptoms. Things are now actually quite bad for them, but perhaps they're not that systemically unwell. And you might term this subacute, moderate to severe active ulcerative colitis. And that sometimes can be managed in an outpatient setting, depending on how you think the patient is and how they're going to be able to cope. The paper would encourage us to try and obtain some objective evidence of disease activity. So commonly we might do some blood tests and do some inflammatory markers. So CRP is the main one I would use. You might use ESR as well. Limited access for me in primary care, but I'd be interested to know if you guys would have access to fecal calprotectin in the context of assessing someone with acute and active inflammatory disease of the gut. So I'd be interested to see your comments there, and I'm sure Justin will go into more detail there. But be aware that the reality is a lot of these tests can be entirely normal, even when someone's having quite a bad flare. So if it clinically looks like a flare of inflammatory bowel disease, then it is. So the main message as well is don't delay treatment waiting for blood results. I have to say that I think in most parts of Australia, you guys get blood results much quicker than I do. So you'll often get them within a few days. You'll get them within a few hours. I often have to wait 24 hours before I get my results back, which is obviously not so good. Now, if we've got a good plan, if they've been to an inflammatory bowel disease clinic, the gastro team before, and we've got a good plan, then that's really helpful. Otherwise, I would always be trying to communicate with their specialist, just so that they're all in the picture, and that can obviously help with management as well. So, how do we assess severity? Well, firstly, severe disease. So there are some simple clinical features we can look out for. So firstly, just how many times are they opening their bowels a day? If you're having diarrhea of more than 6 times a day, then that's pretty significant. So if you've got that plus you are pyrexial, tachycardic, you've got raised inflammatory markers. So here they use the figure of ESR over 30. I think these are actually quite, we'll say well established, but you could also say they're quite old. These are quite old guidelines. And so an ESR of 30 is what they suggest. But I think if you've got a raised CRP, that's going to count as well. Anemia and visible blood in your stools, all of those markers of severe disease when you're getting lots of bowels open a day, then I would say that patient needs to be admitted. I'd be phoning up the hospital. Otherwise, if someone's got mild to moderate disease, mild to moderate features, we can initiate treatment in primary care. So mild disease, I would class that as less than 4 bowel movements a day. You're only going to have small amounts of blood in the stools. I mean, you're almost always going to get some kind of blood in the stools, particularly with ulcerative colitis. But the bowels open less than 4 times a day. Moderate, 4 to 6 bowel movements a day. The blood is going to be somewhere between mild and severe spectrum. We're going to use our clinical judgment here and get the patient's idea about how bad they think it is. But you shouldn't see any particular systemic features. So you're not going to get pyrexia. Their heart rate should be okay. They should be coping pretty well. So those groups we can manage in primary care. I would still be discussing with their specialist unless we've got a very clear plan. But many of these patients will have had flares in the past. They would have previously had input from their specialist. We might have had some communication as well, in which case then I think within reason, assuming things are improving as we would expect them to do, we can look after this group. What do we do for acute management? Well, the treatment obviously varies. So two main features, is it ulcerative colitis or is it Crohn's? They require very different treatment. And what is the site of the disease? So ulcerative colitis can affect different parts of the gut. So it could be some quite minor distal disease, so just proctitis or maybe a bit of proctosigmoiditis. It could be classed as more left-sided, so slightly more extended. And then if it's affecting the whole of the bowel, it's termed as extensive, and those require slightly different treatments. For Crohn's, the two main distinctions would be ileocecal disease and then extensive colon disease as well. And again, I'll talk about the management of those. But the bottom line is, especially if we don't know this patient very well, depending on how good the medical records are, we may need a bit more information before we can actually make an educated decision about treatment. So Neela, she's got left-sided ulcerative colitis. So the first thing we would want to do is increase her oral mesalazine to maximum dose. So I think that, so Neela's, I would class her as having mild to moderate severity. She's opening her bowels 2 or 3 times a day. She's got blood in the stools, she's not feeling great, but she's systemically well and objectively systemically well. So how can we manage this group of UC patients with mild to moderate severity? So the first thing to do, irrespective of the extent of the bowel that's affected, would be to maximize their oral mesalazine. So if they've been on 2.4 grams a day, which is a sort of a standard maintenance dose for many, or if they're not on it at all, I mean, some patients who may be quite mild with rare flares might not be on any at all. The first thing to do would put them up to maximum dose. So if you're using standard mesalazine, so something like mesasal, then that would be 4.8 grams a day. If they're on Pentasa, so slightly different figures, Pentasa, you go up to 4 grams a day. Then it depends on the site of the disease. So for distal and left side disease, there's no doubt the data is very clear. Topical mesalazine is the most effective choice and probably more effective than steroids. So the thing to just know about mesalazine is actually you're not getting systemic absorption. There's virtually no systemic absorption of oral or topical, so rectal mesalazine. It's all having a local action. So what you're taking orally goes down, that's then passing through into the large bowel and exerting its sort of action on the gut wall there. Equally, rectally, you're getting topical mesalazine and it's having a local effect within the gut mucosa. So so the key really is to try and get it to where it's needed. So if people have just got proctitis, so just rectal disease, then almost always their condition can be managed with suppositories. This group tends to be at the milder end of the spectrum, and suppositories are going to be all they need. So a typical course for a flare would be 6 weeks worth of 1 gram suppository. That's the standard dose for pretty much all the suppositories, I think. And you use that twice a day, and then after 6 weeks, things should have settled down. And then you can do a quick taper just once a day for a week or so, and then hopefully they will be able to get off of the rectal treatments. If they've got more extensive disease, so if the sigmoid is affected, if it's more left-sided, then they're going to need something that reaches higher up. So then foam enemas are very, very useful. They are not as pleasant as you might imagine. So they are they're more difficult to tolerate than suppositories, but they are very effective. So to try and improve the trying to improve the tolerance of them and improve therefore the retention of the medicine, they're usually administered at night. The standard doses is 1 to 2 grams, which is 1 to 2 squirts of these foam enemas, and then use them for a similar 6 week course is fairly standard. Some patients may also need suppositories, not necessarily at the same time. That would be very, very complicated. But you might use a foam enema in the evenings and suppository during the day, because the foam enemas, they are quite aggressive. So they're very good at squirting the medicine quite high up, and they sometimes miss the very distal rectum, which can leave an area of untreated disease, which then can continue to drive the disease process when you stop using the foam enemas, and they'll just simply flare back up again. Or indeed, it might not settle down at all. So you might need to think about combination therapy, but by and large, foam enemas will be okay for most by themselves. You can use topical corticosteroids. So there are prednisolone liquid enemas. It's an alternative. Mesalazine is ineffective. Not everyone responds particularly well to steroids, so I would be I'd be asking them a simple question, you know, have you tried this before? Has it worked before? If it hasn't, well, there's probably no point in repeating that treatment. I'd go a different route, think about something else. But I'd still be reserving these for when there's been treatment failure of topical mesalazine. Now, what about if someone's got extensive disease? So clearly very hard for even foam enemas to deliver the medication all the way around to the right side of your large bowel. So topical treatment alone is likely to be inadequate. However, there may still be a rationale for using it, because data shows it can speed up recovery, even though even when we're using a different some other treatment as well. So in that group, I would be maximizing their oral mesalazine. You could suggest they could try some topical treatment. But realistically, they're going to need something orally, and often that's going to be oral prednisolone. So a flare doesn't settle down overnight. It can take 2 or 3 months to get under control. 6 weeks is a fairly standard course for flare management, but occasionally you might need longer. You're just going to have to follow up that patient and play it by ear. The paper would say if you've had no response to a treatment within 2 to 4 weeks, then they would suggest starting oral corticosteroids at that point. I mean, by that point, realistically, I think I would probably have had a chat with their gastro team by that point. But that would be the next step in the pathway. And if you did need to prescribe prednisolone, especially if you're out in the sticks and you've not got a lot of support, then the standard regime for oral pred would be 40 milligrams daily. You reduce by 5 milligrams per week. So it's an 8-week course. And that equates to 252 tablets. So in fact, you can just prescribe them. Well, hopefully you can just prescribe them the full amount at a time. So give them the whole treatment course and give them a plan for that reduction. If you use lower doses, so anything from 15 milligrams or less a day just doesn't work. You've got to go in pretty high and then slowly bring it down. When we're doing that, particularly if they're having quite frequent courses of prednisolone, do think about bone protection as well, particularly in the elderly or particularly if they're already known to have some low bone mineral density. Now, Crohn's disease, I think, is more complex because ulcerative colitis, there's a very clear sort of part of the bowel which we're dealing with Crohn's. It can be different things at different times for the same person. And in different people, it's very, very heterogeneous condition. So the features you might get, diarrhea, sometimes PR bleeding, but not always, depends what part of the bowel is affected. Abdominal pain is much more common, and systemic features are quite common as well, so weight loss and fever. In this group, mesalazine lacks proven efficacy. It might help some, but it's certainly not a given, which is very different from ulcerative colitis. And the mainstay of treatment here is likely to be steroid therapy. So in this BJGP article, they suggested people have mild to moderate ileocecal disease, and we've got a plan, we're familiar with the patient, maybe we've had some communication with their specialist. We could potentially manage this in primary care. And the first choice here would be budesonide. So this is oral budesonide, 8 milligrams once a day for 8 weeks and then a 2-week taper. And the reason they suggest budesonide, when you're having it orally, there's extensive first-pass metabolism, unlike with prednisolone. So it's felt that you might get less systemic steroid side effects. But the payoff of that is it's not quite as effective. So some people will get treatment failure with this. The NICE guidelines that obviously we use a lot in the UK actually suggest something quite different. So they would suggest just using a conventional oral glucocorticoid steroid, so prednisolone would be the mainstay of treatment. If this is someone's first flare within 12 months, so they would suggest just going straight to oral prednisolone. I think discuss it with the patient, see what's worked for them in the past, see what their specialist would say, and then there is some flexibility here. If it's more extensive disease and colonic disease, then everyone seems to agree oral prednisolone for 8 weeks is the standard treatment. So there's a lot to know about inflammatory bowel disease. And if you do want a really good resource, then the RCGP over here in the UK have put together a free inflammatory bowel disease toolkit. Really, really useful. Lots of practical tips. It's not just these are the figures, this is what we should do. Practical tips about people's experiences with inflammatory bowel disease. There's some resources for patients as well. There's also podcasts and videos to get an idea about people's experiences and clinicians' experiences of managing it as well. So it's all free, it's open access, it's linked in the KISS summary. So do check it out. I think it's really quite useful. So conclusions then, flares are very common for people with inflammatory bowel disease. And there's often this, often people are put on oral steroids quite quickly. There may be something we can do to reduce unnecessary steroid exposure. So when they have a flare, inform the inflammatory bowel disease team, determine the severity, try and gain objective evidence of disease, ask the patient about previous successes and failures, and then for ulcerative colitis, left-sided disease, maximize that dose of oral mesalazine, and then think about topical mesalazine for 6 weeks. It's safe and it's effective and often more effective than steroids. More extensive disease will require some oral treatment, and that realistically is going to be oral steroids for many. For Crohn's disease, I think more complicated. Ileocecal disease may respond to oral budesonide, so that would be an alternative option to prednisolone. For anyone with severe disease, we just need to speak to their specialists, and they're going to need to go to hospital. So what did we do with Neela? Well, she had left-sided ulcerative colitis, but she's fairly well with it. I would class her as having mild disease. So we increased her oral steroid, We increased her oral mesalazine up to the maximum dose. We started mesalazine enemas in the evening, suppositories in the daytime for 6 weeks. Things responded rapidly. She stopped bleeding within 2 weeks of treatment. We did some blood tests. Everything looked pretty okay there. Had a chat with her inflammatory bowel disease team. They agree with our management. She's now improving. The bleeding's getting better. She's going to go off to clinic for an assessment in a month or so. If things weren't improving, then we could always send her sooner. And after she's finished with her topical mesalazine, keep going with that higher dose of the oral treatment. And this is sort of not an exact science here, but I would certainly stay on that higher dose for several months after she's finished the topical treatment.
Thank you. That was Dr. Neil Tucker from NB Medical in the UK, presenting the latest updates on the guidelines in treating ulcerative colitis in primary care. You can download a copy of the Keep It Simple Summary or KISS on ulcerative colitis on our Medcast Downloads page. If you'd like to learn more about the Hot Topics series of workshops, webinars and podcasts, please visit our website on www.medcast.com.au/hottopics. Thank you.